What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
After losing the Republican primary in Wyoming, Congresswoman Liz Cheney is weighing a bid for the White House. Can an anti-Trump candidate win the support of the GOP?
She loves the Republican Party, as she said in her concession speech on Tuesday evening. She's seen more as someone who would want to work to change the Republican Party than someone who wants to be an independent candidate.
And retail sales show consumers are still spending, but for how long? Plus, how to reduce your digital footprint. It's Wednesday, August 17th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Overall retail sales were flat in July, but the Commerce Department says if you take gas and auto sales out of the equation, sales rose 0.7%, showing shoppers are still spending. The retail sales figures aren't adjusted for inflation. Economics reporter Austin Hufford says consumers are getting less for their money, and that could start impacting sales in the future.
Economists say that there is a limit to how much consumers will continue to spend given the higher prices we've seen this year. At the same time, there hasn't been a drop, and so that's good news for the economy.
Meanwhile, earnings out today from major retailers show shifts in consumer behavior. Target says its profit fell further than it had anticipated last quarter as the company tried to sell excess inventory at a discount, and shoppers turned away from discretionary spending towards spending on basics. Home improvement chain Lowe's says its sales fell 0.3%, marking its second quarterly decline in a row. Lowe's says homeowners cut back on do-it-yourself projects, but the retailer said it has plans to dole out $55 million in incremental bonuses to its frontline workers to help lessen the pinch of price hikes. Speaking of inflationary pressures, the minutes of the Federal Reserve's July meeting out today show officials still see a need for more interest rate hikes to slow the economy. But the minutes also indicate that the Fed is aware there are two different risks here, that they might not raise rates enough to bring down inflation or raise them too much, which could weaken the economy. The Fed increased rates by 0.75 percentage point in both June and July, the central bank's largest bumps since 1994. The major indexes fell after those early retail earnings reports, recouped some losses after the release of the Fed minutes, then turned lower again, ultimately ending the day down. The Dow lost 172 points, or 0.5%. The S&P 500 fell 0.7%, and the Nasdaq fell 1.25%. In Ohio, a federal judge has ordered the companies that own CVS, Walgreens, and Walmart pharmacies to pay $650 million over 15 years to two counties for contributing to the opioid epidemic. The judge's order today follows a jury verdict last November in the Bellwether case, which was the first decision reached in lawsuits targeting the pharmacy chains for their alleged role in the epidemic. All three companies say they will appeal the decision. And the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has outlined restructuring plans to strengthen the agency's response to public health threats. Director Rochelle Walensky says the CDC fell short in its response to the COVID-19 pandemic. She says the agency will focus on improving its communication, timeliness, and accountability in the future. Our health reporter Brianna Abbott says changes were sparked by an outside review.
In that review, there were a couple of things that stood out, including, you know, how the CDC often takes sort of too long to publish data that is needed more quickly in an emergency situation, and that the agency should better be able to translate the science into practical and sort of easy to understand policy. A lot of folks had called the policies confusing in the past. And then something else that we were told by a CDC official is that staff turnover also hampered the CDC's pandemic response.
Coming up, Congresswoman Liz Cheney lost Wyoming's Republican primary, but she's not hanging up her political hat. More on her plans and whether she can win support from the GOP after the break.
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites, or Build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Wyoming Congresswoman Liz Cheney, a three-term incumbent, lost the Republican primary Tuesday to Harriet Hageman, a candidate endorsed by former President Donald Trump. The defeat was a remarkable turning point for Cheney. Her father, former Vice President Dick Cheney, was a powerful force in the Republican Party for decades. And in her first years in Washington, Liz Cheney seemed to be the heir apparent to that political dynasty. But things changed when she began to criticize the former president, becoming one of only 10 House Republicans to vote in favor of Trump's impeachment for inciting insurrection at the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. She was voted out of GOP leadership, and after taking on a key role in the House committee investigating the January 6th attack, she was censured by the Republican National Committee. But Cheney's political future may not be over. She says she'll focus her efforts on preventing Trump from ever holding a powerful government office again. And she's also contemplating a presidential bid in 2024. But can she win back the support of Republicans? And does an anti-Trump candidate have a chance in the polls in 2024? Joining me now with more on this is Wall Street Journal congressional reporter Natalie Andrews. Hi, Natalie. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Natalie, Cheney lost to Harriet Hageman, a candidate endorsed by former President Trump. He's backed several candidates in primaries across the U.S. with mixed results. What does Cheney's loss in her primary tell us about the role of Trump in the party right now and how much weight his endorsement carries?
The Trump endorsement is helping candidates win primaries. It's helped narrow the field in House Republican primaries. And especially in the races that he's played in where incumbents or candidates have made a clear stance against the president's actions on January 6th, we're seeing voters largely choose candidates aligned with Donald Trump here. We're not seeing voters pick candidates who oppose Donald Trump in Republican primaries.
So we've learned that Cheney is now forming a political action committee. What can you tell us about her future plans and ambitions there?
Liz Cheney ended her campaign with $7 million cash on hand, and she's moved to transfer that to a leadership PAC. She received donations from Republicans and Democrats during her campaign, many of which who saw her standing up to Donald Trump as something they wanted to support. It's unclear if those same people will support her in this new group that she's creating, a political organization that we don't have many details about.
Now, Cheney has gotten a lot of national attention because of her public stance against Trump and for her role on the January 6th committee. She's been embraced by Democrats, too. Natalie, what avenues might open up for her politically because of that?
She has been embraced by Democrats. They see her as this hero taking on her party, being willing to lose her campaign, being willing to lose her leadership position. But at the end of the day, does a Democratic voter who sees Liz Cheney's name on a presidential ballot next to Joe Biden, do they pick Liz Cheney? They probably are going to pick Joe Biden. Joe Biden's a person who aligns with them. So it's hard to know just how those Democrats who boosted Liz Cheney and have praised her would play in a future bid, given they're more likely to back someone who matches their ideals as their personal political platform more than they'd back Liz Cheney, who is a Republican. She's a conservative. She's not someone who's going to carry the flag for them long term. So that leaves Republicans who are dissatisfied with Donald Trump. And it's not clear if there's enough of those to coalesce behind her and get her through a Republican presidential primary. It's just not known.
And Natalie, I think that is the big question here. Would Cheney be able to get support from enough members of the Republican Party to make a difference? Or does an anti-Trump presidential candidate have a chance as a third party candidate? What can you tell us about what this may mean for the 2024 election?
In interviews with Republicans running for office and Republican voters, as I've traveled the country, it does seem like if Donald Trump decides to run for president in 2024, he will come out as the front runner. The party is largely behind him, especially House Republicans that are Liz Cheney's colleagues. So it's not clear what an anti-Trump candidate could do in the Republican primary. We do expect to see some, not just Liz Cheney. You may see a Larry Hogan, the governor of Maryland, run as well. So it's not clear what her path would be other than, you know, she's certainly made this clear stance and she's used her position as on the January 6th investigative committee to develop a national name. And perhaps she would run as a third party candidate, though she has clearly talked about wanting to save the soul of the Republican Party. She's the daughter of a former Republican vice president. She loves the Republican Party, as she said in her concession speech on Tuesday evening. She's seen more as someone who would want to work to change the Republican Party than someone who wants to be an independent candidate.
That's Wall Street Journal congressional reporter Natalie Andrews. Natalie, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
And finally, search your name online and your LinkedIn, Instagram, or Twitter might be in the top results. But keep scrolling and you may also find your phone number, home address, the names of your relatives, and more. Having this information out there can feel like an invasion of privacy. It can also be harmful depending on who accesses that information and how they use it. But it's often hard to get those personal details off the internet. Wall Street Journal reporter Maddie Ellis says one way to remove the content is by contacting the owner of the site.
White Pages, Spokeo, Radaris, these are sites that often have opt-out requests. The tricky part can be finding these opt-out requests. So what I recommend doing is typing in the name of the data broker and then opt-out. That should get you closer to the actual form. Each database is a little different, but basically, usually they'll ask for the URL of your listing. So you'll need to find the location of your personal information on their site, save that URL, submit that URL to them. And it's usually just a few steps to say, like, I would like to opt out from having my information public.
If you want to opt out of the legwork, Maddie says there are third-party services that will handle that for a fee. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.